Welcome to worship this evening. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Opening hymn for this evening is found on the inside cover of our worship bulletin.
Of men?
will you try the patience of my God also. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And in Matthew chapter 1, we are given the definition, which means God with us. In the name of our Savior, dear Christian friends, as we're going to close out near the end of the service with our psalm for this evening, in our psalm for tonight, the psalmist writes, "The Lord is good to all." The Lord is good to all. And then he defines what that means. He says, "He's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." Now, people at times are tempted, I think, to doubt this phrase, "The Lord is good to all." And sometimes I suppose you and I may be tempted to wonder if that phrase is really true. It's very interesting to note tonight that as we begin in Isaiah chapter 7, the Lord, in this first prophecy that we want to focus on this evening, was given to an unbeliever, an unbelieving king of Israel, a descendant of King David, named Ahaz. Now Ahaz, even though the Lord had done many, many miracles for him, and now the most recent one here is two kings had decided to attack Ahaz and try to take over the kingdom. And so the Lord came to Ahaz and says, "Look, I'm going to keep you safe, I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to protect the kingdom." So that's where our text begins. "Ask the Lord your God." God says to Ahaz, "I'm your God. Ask me for a sign. In the deepest depths or in the highest heights, ask me for whatever you want." God gives him a blank check. But the fact of the matter is that every time God did one of these miracles for Ahaz, Ahaz would have nothing to do with it. He wouldn't want anything to do with the real God. In fact, by all accounts, Ahaz could be described as a pretty wicked guy. He and his wife Jezebel had been killing off the prophets of the Lord, and they killed many of them, and they were trying to wipe out worship of the Lord and instead install worship of the false god Baal. So did you even hear the frustration in the prophet Isaiah's voice? "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God also?" So here again, the Lord was good to all, even to Ahaz, this unbelieving king, to whom he gave now this prophecy that the virgin would be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. You know, that phrase, "the Lord is good to all," has been true since the beginning. When you look at the devil and his origins after the creation, the Bible reminds us that he had a position of authority in heaven. And yet, in the letter of Jude, it says he abandoned that. No matter how good God had been to him, he still led a rebellion against God. Adam and Eve, our first parents, they were in paradise. Everything was awesome. He gave them that beautiful home, the Garden of Eden. They were perfect and sinless in every way. And God had been very good to them. And yet they still rebelled and decided that they knew better and followed that temptation, even the Lord, though the Lord had been very good to them. As we're approaching Christmas, and if you want to talk about Christmas gifts and Christmas presents, if it really was dependent upon us whether we were naughty or nice, have we really been nice all this last year? Have we been sinless and acting holy? Especially when it comes to the gift of the Christ child, that one born of the virgin whom God prophesied here in Isaiah 7. We haven't deserved it either. And yet the Lord has been good to all, because God will perform this miracle for us, for Adam and Eve, for Ahaz, and for the entire world. And this wonderful miracle that God performs means God will come and live with us. God will dwell with us, and the Lord is good to all. We continue with the hymn. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, Isaiah, through the Holy Spirit, defines who would be the Emmanuel, and describes for us that this God with us would become a child first, be born. And in direct fulfillment of our prophecies last week, when God prophesied that the seed, singular, of the woman would be born, now we hear to us a son is given, specifically a male. And as we see King Ahaz here, he's of the house of David. And yet, he didn't even believe in the coming Savior who would be a descendant of him. And yet, look what this Savior would do. And the description of this wonderful Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. He'll be a wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And many times, you know, throughout this world, government has not always been good. Many times, people have been blessed with good government, but government is also made up of sinners. But thank goodness that Christ's ruling over us and the entire world will never end. And in fact, notice another wonderful promise that God has made to us. His peace, there will be no end. That peace has already started now for each of us and everyone called to faith in Jesus. A peace that reminds them, as God reminded us tonight, your sins are forgiven you. A peace that says, no matter what happens here, by faith in Christ, you are kings and queens and you will rule and reign in all eternity. And this peace will extend into everlasting life. Now, how is this going to happen? How is this going to be? And the last line of the verse tells us, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God will accomplish everything he has promised. And at this point in time, in Isaiah chapter 9, it's 600 years before Jesus would be born. And in Jesus, this son who was given, the Lord has been good to all. We continue again with the hymn.
Oh.
continue in Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was King David's father. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Sometimes, people are also tempted to think that people, sinners, wicked people, unbelievers, maybe like King Ahaz, are getting away with stuff, are not getting repaid for the wickedness that they're carrying out. After all, for somebody like King Ahaz, who disciplines the king? He's an absolute power. And sometimes you and I are tempted to, just like the psalmist, to look at sometimes unbelievers who are living lives that we ourselves look at, and from scriptural standpoint, somebody should be paying for these kind of crimes that are going on. And the psalmist was tempted to think that they're getting away with it too. And yet finally he concluded, no, the Lord will take care of all. At the appropriate time, he will take care of it. And yet you and I, I'll bet, find ourselves saying to ourselves, why aren't they getting punished? How come they're not getting caught? They've done crimes, and yet it seems they're getting off scot-free. Well, God says here, he's going to take care of things in his way and in his manner. The house of David, those kings had turned out so wicked that God finally cut them off. There were no more kings of Israel and of Judah after a certain period of time after the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah. And yet, that Emmanuel, that God with us, he's going to come. And he's going to be from the line of David. And so, notice, a shoot, a branch, will come up from the stump of Jesse. No, there hadn't been kings in Israel for a long, long time when Jesus was born. But we hear the prophecies being fulfilled when we have the angel going to Mary and Joseph, both of the house and lineage of David, and reminding them of this special son, Emmanuel, that would be born. In fact, the angel says to Mary, he will rule on David's throne forever and ever. And then God describes it here. This shoot coming up, this branch, will bear fruit. This king is going to do everything God sent him to do. And this king will carry out everything God wanted him to do. In fact, this root of the root of Jesse, as it's described of him later in verse 11, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples, and the nations will rally to him. There is not any place you can go really throughout this world and not find people who are celebrating, if it isn't Christmas, in their own way or their own traditions and customs, yet celebrating the birth of Emmanuel, God with us, the root of Jesse. And when we see this, notice, how is he going to be able to accomplish all these things? How is he going to bear fruit? Because the Holy Spirit's going to be with him and guide him in all that he does. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he won't ever judge wrongly. not this king. He will not judge what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears. He's always going to judge justly. And in fact, he's going to be for the little guy, the poor, as the scriptures prophesy here. The poor in spirit, those who are crushed in spirit, those who know that they're sinful and need help from God. And notice too, that answer, will people get away with stuff? Which sometimes concerns us and others. That answer's there in our text. What does it say? He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked, the unbelievers. I want you to note that all of these imageries that we see of Jesus here, the shoot and this branch that will bear fruit, these things are all talking about this also in Revelation. And this Jesus talking about justice and sash around his waist. Jesus is pictured as that in Revelation 2. In fact, several word imageries talk about Jesus as that rod coming out of his mouth by which he will judge the earth. All these imageries that we see in Isaiah are repeated at the end of the scriptures in Revelation. And so what God has promised, he will fulfill. And just like the last passage told us, how is God going to do this? The zeal of the Lord Almighty is going to accomplish this. And then the last verse is very important. And his place of rest will be glorious. A couple of weeks ago, as we closed out the year, church year, and we focused on the glories and blessings of that awesome place that God is preparing for us, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. We heard just how beautiful God is going to adorn that place for all of us by faith in Jesus and for every single believer. That place of rest will be glorious. And the last passage says that place of rest will never end. So God truly has been good to all. And through this shoot, this branch, the root of Jesse. We continue with the hymn. Judgment upon Israel and Judah for their unfaithfulness, their unbelief, And then it spread out to all the surrounding nations for their wickedness and their violence and their worship of idols and the like. And then suddenly, part two of Isaiah 40 through 66, just a wonderful section of comfort and gospel, which we're picking up now tonight in chapter 40, starting at verse 1. So let's read. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Speaks of excellent comfort. And now in the second half of Isaiah, it starts of the comfort that we receive because of God coming to live with us. And then it flows into four prophecies about the New Testament church and finally of heaven. So the whole second half of Isaiah, just many beautiful word pictures. And now another prophecy. Before Emmanuel, the seed of the woman, before the root of Jesse comes, God's going to send his messenger, a voice of one calling in the desert, telling people to prepare their hearts, prepare their lives, get ready for the Savior, the Messiah. And then after that, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. We're going to hear that on Christmas Eve, right? The glory of the Lord shown round about them. And all mankind together will see it. In the Holy Scriptures, God declares this to all the world. The Scriptures are translated into how many different languages, how many different dialects. And God has revealed it to us. And the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, just like the last passage says, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. When God speaks it, it's as good as done. And that flows right into our next sections from Malachi. We read first from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, which now describes the messenger a little bit more. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And that messenger was identified by Jesus as, in the next passage, as John the Baptist. And then, suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. We contrasted a couple of weeks ago the two covenants, the new and the old, the Old Testament contract and the New Testament contract. And tonight we have a part in that sacrament of the new covenant brought to us by Jesus, the messenger of the new covenant, who came to his temple as Emmanuel, God with us, and who did everything required by him until he even gave his life on that cross outside of Jerusalem, outside of the temple, and shed his blood for us all. And that new covenant says to all of us, you are forgiven. We are forgiven in him. And then finally, Malachi chapter 4, verse beginning at verse 5. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah, John the Baptist, before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And now the Lord is foreshadowing the last day, the end of the world. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. The Lord has been good to all, and how have all responded? Not always so well. And yet, when John did come and preach, he turned the hearts of many to their Savior Jesus. And then suddenly, 6 months later or so, Jesus appears on the scene, public ministry beginning. After John preached, baptized, and got people's hearts ready. God has always been good to all. His desire for everybody is that all come to faith. And he wants everybody to be in heaven through faith in Jesus who died for them. Unfortunately, many have rejected God's goodness, just like Ahaz. But notice that God says, in the end, he will accomplish everything he has promised and take care of everything he has said. And the zeal of the Lord will do this. God is good to all. We continue with the hymn. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, truly you are good to all and loving toward all you have made. Keep us ready through your holy word, and keep us in faith in our Lord and Savior, Emmanuel. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you became one of us, the seed of the woman, and that you, even as everlasting and almighty God, made your dwelling with us. Keep us in your care, as you have promised to be with us to the very end of the world. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Prayers are also requested on behalf of Sally Schlewe and her entire family, as after being hospitalized for some time with pneumonia, Wayne Schlewe was entered into Angel's Grace and is not doing very well. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you know the future and the plans and the good plans you have for each of us. We ask you to be with Wayne and Sally Schlewe and the entire family at this time. As Wayne has now been entered into Angel's Grace Hospice, give them precious time together, and indeed continue to be with them, even if these be Wayne's last days here on earth. And yet we come to you as one who has power to heal and who can continue to extend our lives here. So we place our brother Wayne into your care. We ask this in Jesus' name. He was also then taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, believing hearts, receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Would you paste that right away on Facebook? Would you say, hey, look at this? or would you probably not mention it about your ancestry? And it's very interesting to note that the family line of the Savior is not full of saints and saints and saints and saints. Not people who acted like perfect in every way. And then on top of it, the family line, the line of the Savior, also includes Ruth the Moabite woman and other people like that. In fact, King David's wife, Bathsheba, notice how when you read the passage, it's going to mention that she was married to Uriah until David got Uriah killed. So again, the whole line of the Savior is full of sinners who all needed this Savior too. So just look at the important and notable people that are in those three sections from the line of the Savior. All right, have a good week. Enjoy weather and all that.